Welcome to Don't Panic Steve, the podcast that's all about panic attacks, with me, Claire Easton, best-selling author and award-winning mental health blogger, and my mate Chris.
Just the usual disclaimer before we start, in no way is this podcast taking the piss out of mental illness. It's something I live with, and I suppose in many ways made a career out of it. But I do think that humour is really beneficial in recovery, and in all walks of life.
Exactly.
Wouldn't you agree?
I agree.
How are you?
Yeah, I'm alright. I've been preparing for going camping.
Oh, yes. I remember you telling me about this. And yeah. In the Uber tent. Not as in a tent that's sponsored by Uber. Like, it's massive, isn't it?
A travelling tent. Yeah, going tomorrow. And I'm not... Yeah, it's fair to say I'm not a natural camper.
Yeah.
Last time we went, a few months ago now, the tent leaked. In the middle of the night, and then it continued raining in the morning. And I think the highlight of the trip for me was I was sitting eating my a sandwich, mm-hmm. and raindrops were just dripping off the tent onto my sandwich.
Falling on my head. Sorry, I couldn't resist. Oh, are you joking?
Yeah, and I thought, I was just sitting there thinking, why? I've actually paid to do this. I've paid money.
You've just summarised all my feelings about camping, like, yeah. I paid to do this.
Yeah. I'm sure I'll feel like that again tomorrow.
The kids like it.
Yeah, they love it.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say we wouldn't be camping if it wasn't for the kids.
I just take some wine and hope for the best.
Yeah, that's the only way to get through it, I think.
Wine and a cagoule.
Yeah.
You can ask me.
No.
Okay, I'll just tell you.
Yeah, how's your week been?
It's been... I want to talk to you about an incident that happened last week, actually. So, I have a mild problem with authority, which is an understatement. I have a huge problem with authority. Which, to clarify, it's not like, as in, like, fuck the police kind of thing. And when I say problem, it's a complex, stemming from my childhood of being told what to do. Anyway, this train... You know, like, if you get on Virgin trains? Because I travel a lot for work. I go to London. Right, so you get an advance ticket, and that's your ticket. You have to travel on that train.
Yeah.
Totally cool, fair enough. Now, I went to get on the 10:55 train from Manchester Piccadilly to London, accidentally got on the 10:35 because they were on the same platform, different sides.
Right, okay.
Completely my fault, wasn't paying attention, just got on.
Yeah.
What was really weird is that I was sat there, and you know, I have like a real routine on the train. I've got to have my like bagel from Bagel Factory, I've got my coffee.
There's a bagel factory?
Yeah. I mean, it's just some bird like putting stuff on a bagel. Warming it in the microwave, but it's really good and it's important to me. And it's got to be the Pret soy caramel latte from Pret. It's very important. I get very emotional about this kind of stuff.
I can tell you've lived in London.
No, do you know what I mean? I've always been like this. Like, I have like my morning routine and it's like, yeah. Please don't mess with that, yeah. Because I will just go back to bed. Like, forget it. Start again tomorrow. And that's my train one. Let me know if anybody else has something like that. You know, if you don't get what you had in your head, you know, visualised, it's ruined. Like, forget
ruined
it.
Ruined your whole day.
Anyway, so that's not even the concern. I got all that. You know, I sat there and then the train set off. I was like, why is the 10:55 setting off at like 35? I must have just got on it by the, you know, skin of my teeth.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, it's setting off early. I'm like, no, it's not, you idiot.
Yeah, that never happened.
Realised what I've done and I was like, oh my God. Panicked. I thought, right, what I'll do is I'll go and tell the conductor because it's my mistake. And he was such an asshole.
Really?
I thought, I'm telling you, know, I'm not trying to hide it. It's a genuine mistake. I offered to get off at Stockport, which was 7 minutes away, wait there and get on the correct train.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is fair enough.
Do you think so?
Yeah.
I know. And it's not as if the train was packed. There was barely anybody on it. And the guy was like, obviously, procedure down to a, is it a T? I don't know. That's just a procedure.
Let's just call him a Jobsworth.
Yeah, it's a Jobsworth. And he said, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to ask you to buy a new ticket at £89.90.
Oh, that's ridiculous.
And I was like, hang on. I was like, whoa. And he just kept saying it over and over again. The ticket that you've purchased is an advance. And was reading off this thing about an advance means, well, I know what an advance means. I'm not trying to, you know, bamboozle came into my, what's wrong with me tonight? I'm not trying to bamboozle anyone. I would never try and do that. But I was like, listen, seriously, I'll get off at Stockport. It's fine. And he was just, I'm sorry, you have to buy a new ticket. I said, how about if I stand in the vestibule with my nose touching the window till Stockport? He's like, I'm sorry, you have to buy a new ticket. So in the end, I just said, listen, there must be a procedure, but I'm not prepared to do that.
Yeah, so fair enough.
So he said to me, go back to your seat immediately and wait for me there. Right? I'm 32 years old. I was like, all right, fucker. So I got off at Stockport. I was like, obviously, I'm not waiting for him.
Yeah.
And I was trying to clock him, you know, as the train was going past.
Yeah.
And I couldn't quite see where he was. So just to be on the safe side, I put both middle fingers up. The entire train was like, ah! Like, so anybody else on that train, I'm like, what a crazy woman on the platform.
I can only imagine what that looked like. To someone who had no idea what it was all about.
And the people on the platform too, also just kind of like, nothing to see here. Just so you know, I won. So that was an eventful
trip. That sounded it was going to end with an Alan Partridge style. Needless to say, I had the last laugh.
I did. And I almost got committed.
No. Again.
It was, so that was an interesting one. Do you know what I mean though about when people kind of, I understand rules. I always understand and I respect procedure. And I'm not someone who thinks they're better than anyone or above anyone, but there's got to be an element of common sense.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's an age thing. The older you get, the more you kind of resent being treated like a child more and more.
Yeah.
Definitely. And and I think everybody helps. I can't even speak.
Don't get the bamboo.
Everybody hates being spoken to like a child. Even children, from my experience. Yeah. So,
some people, though, I find go, not passive, but, it upsets them. And
yeah.
And I'm normally quite, obviously, an anxious person. You wouldn't think I would do that kind of thing, but I just see red.
Mm.
I'm like, right, I'm going to do everything in my power now. To defy you and your tyranny.
I'd do exactly the same. I probably would have just kept in talking until Stockport. And then when the doors opened, just went, bye! Run off.
Yeah, but knowing your luck, the police would be there as you climbed off, like, hello, officer!
Yeah, all the doors wouldn't have opened, or they would have just closed just as I get to them. God. Yeah, it wouldn't go smoothly.
Gosh. Well, anyway, good to catch up. This week, we're going to talk about panic attack trash talk.
Oh.
Because it is, in many ways, you know, the lies that panic tells you in the moment.
Yeah.
I think everybody has this to a certain extent. You know, say you're in an embarrassing situation or a scary situation, stress, stuff comes into your head out of nowhere.
Mm.
Does that happen to you? I'm curious. Because you're so chill.
For me, if it's something unexpected and horrible, my main thought tends to be, I can't believe this is happening. Like almost like a shock more than kind of a reaction to it, if that makes sense.
Like literally we were talking about a minute ago when you left your Kindle.
Yes.
Came to visit me. And
yes, came to visit you in London and left my bag somewhere in Camden, was it?
Yeah. I was trying to be cool, taking you Camden, this is where I hang out. It wasn't all. We had to go well out of our way to get there.
Yeah, and it didn't end well. I still hate myself for leaving that bag.
I reckon it was outside that kebab shop.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I think it was. And I never did see it. I contacted all the authorities.
Sorry.
All the relevant authorities.
All the relevant channels.
Yeah, and never got that back.
Well, do you know what? Somebody who's having the worst day of their lives might have found that and thought, rather than hand it in, I'll take it as a sign from the fates that it's, I could have it.
Yeah, and just hope they had my jean size.
Yeah.
Because my favourite jeans were in there.
Good for clarifying. We just said the Kindle, we didn't say a bag.
I think I said bag.
Oh, did you? Okay, fair enough.
Potentially.
Is this your Kindle wrapped in a pair of jeans?
That pretty much sums it up, really.
Yeah. But, so that's how you react. What about before a situation that you think is going to be stressful?
Yeah, we definitely react in different ways.
That's true.
I think.
That's true.
I tend to be, I'm the sort of person who I'll prepare for it mentally. But then when it gets to this kind of the day when it's happening or a few hours before, I kind of just try and clear my mind of any, I just do not think about it at all.
And you can do that.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a superpower. Seriously. the more I try to do that, the more, you know, intense the thoughts kind of get.
Really? Like a cycle?
Well, think of this for an example. If I said to you right now, whatever you do, do not think of a pink elephant. What are you thinking about?
It's a pink elephant with blue spots, weirdly.
Oh, I like you customised it. But that's how my brain works, you know. So if somebody says relax, I do the opposite. Somebody says clear your head, my head just gets like, ah! With like.
Yeah.
So I think you've got a real skill there.
Thank you.
You do.
I finally found a skill. 31 years later.
But the kind of, what I'm very interested in, what panic says to us during an attack. Because I discovered that there's a pattern. And I actually, just to confirm this, I asked on my Instagram the other night, what kind of comes into your head during a panic attack? What does it say? And they're all the same, which makes me really happy. It was, obviously, I'm going to die. I'm going to go insane. But then you get the more specific ones, which are still text, but like, I'm going to be sick.
Hmm.
I'm going to start screaming. I'm going to faint, which actually just means I'm going to lose control.
Yeah.
So panic is either a fear of death or a fear of control. It's those two things. And no matter how you kind of spin it and make it more intricate, because mine, some of mine are really specific. Like, I feel like I'm going to take my top off and run around and screaming. How weird is that?
Yeah.
But
But the thing is, you'd definitely be able to control that urge, wouldn't you?
But when you're panicking, you just...
Yeah, you can't have that logic.
It comes into your head, like, that's what you're going to do. And in that moment, you're going to ruin your life.
Yeah.
By
behaving. Do you think... How much of it do you think is a fear of kind of showing yourself up or embarrassing yourself? Is that a big part of it?
100%. Fear of control. Losing control.
Yeah.
That's what it is. And you can wrap it up however you want, but it's like fear of embarrassment and fear of acting abnormally.
Right, yeah.
Because we live by, you know, codes. Everybody does. There's a kind of, you know, a code of behaviour everywhere.
Mm.
I think there's a fear of breaking that code and ending up revealing yourself as, you know, someone dangerous.
Yeah.
That's the fear, I think.
Yeah, and when you panic, you worry that your mind's going to let you down kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I recently spoke to somebody who had this fear that they were going to drive off a bridge when they were having a panic attack, even though they don't live anywhere near a bridge. Like, what do you mean? You think you're going to suddenly plow into somebody with the car because you're panicking? And it's, again, I'm like, I'll link it back to. So it's a fear of losing control.
Yeah.
Like, no, 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 it's not. It's different. I'm like, it might feel that way, but it's not.
Yeah. People probably have very specific versions of what you're saying, but it all leads back to the same place.
If anyone's listening who has panic attacks, why would you be listening to this otherwise? Sorry. I promise, hand on heart, no matter what panic says, you will not behave dangerously. It cannot make you do anything that you don't want to do. It can't. It just makes you feel like you're going to.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah.
I suddenly think, you know, what if I just stab someone in the face, like you, for example?
Yeah.
You never
Please
would,
don't.
Do you know?
Well, I hope not.
You entertain thoughts like that, but you wouldn't.
Out of interest, what is the, like, the furthest you've gone when you've been having a panic attack?
That is interesting, Chris. Good question.
Because if your theory is correct, if what you're saying is correct, it shouldn't be that anything that bad.
It's not. And the funny part is, in my head, I thought I'd behaved very dangerously.
Mm.
I hadn't.
Yeah.
It tricks you. You think, the night I had my nervous breakdown, the one, you know, when I ran down the Strand.
Yeah.
Which, all right, it was unfortunate. It wasn't dangerous.
Mm.
No one gives a shit what you do in London. You could be setting someone on fire and they'd be like, oh, well, I've got a train to catch, so. But, you know, just running down the street crying, you know, it wasn't. And then at night, in my head, I'd kind of trashed our apartment. I'd, you know, behaved like a lunatic. You know, I was throwing things around. I was screaming. I was waking the neighbours. And it's only when I really thought about it with a therapist, it was like, what did you actually do? You cried.
Yeah.
You cried a lot. And you rang NHS Direct. That's it. All the rest of it came out of your mouth. Like, I feel like I'm going to do this. I feel like I'm going to do that.
Mm.
You didn't do any of it.
Yeah. Your brain just tricking you.
Yeah. It's like, are you going to lose control any second now? Are you going to lose control? But you don't. Because you're just afraid. That's all it is.
Yeah. Makes sense.
It's sometimes liken it to, you know, when someone's really drunk.
Mm.
And the stuff that comes out of the mouth is the purest bullshit you've ever heard. About the life and, oh God, because everything's intensified. Like, I'm the worst person in the world. I'm literally worse than, like, Stalin, and I'm going to do this. you know.
Stalin, was that the worst person you could think of?
I was going to say Hitler, but I feel like that's overused.
Yeah. You know? It's a bit predictable, that, isn't it?
Stalin was a shit too. It's that intensity of emotions. It's not real. What do you think then about... It's always really interesting for me with you because we're such opposites.
Yeah.
Like when I say, you know that trash talk, and you're like, no.
Yeah, but whenever we have conversations about things like this, obviously not on the podcast.
Yeah.
It's normally with conversations, you think of a similar example in your life, don't you, and kind of put that forward.
Yeah.
Whereas when you tell me stories like this, I'm like, I can't identify with that. However, I can fully understand what you went through.
Yeah, I've known you long enough. No, it's true, but I'm very fortunate that when I say all this stuff that you just kind of like accept it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
That must be horrible. Shall we watch Battle Royale? I'm like, yeah.
But I think that's the thing. I think, you know, you in your head when you're telling me these things, you're thinking they're the worst things in the world, and that, you know, you've behaved in this terrible way. And actually, you know, apart from the train incident, obviously, you haven't done.
No. And that wasn't panic.
No, well, exactly.
That was defiance, and I'm proud. I think, personally, I like an element of normality when I'm panicking. My brother, it's funny, he just calls me a crazy bitch and carries on with what he's doing. He's like, what's wrong with you, you crazy bitch? Like, it's fine. And then carries on, like... determinedly carries on like what we were talking about previously, because like nothing's changed. I'm like, fair enough.
Yeah, that's classic sibling behavior, that, isn't it?
Like, no sympathy at all. Like, you crazy bitch, what's wrong with you, sit down.
Yeah, my brother Adam, he could break his leg and I'd be like, get up. You're just milking it.
Oh my god, I was reminded the other day of an incident where this is siblings, you were squaring up to him over some like fish fingers.
Yes, that did happen, and it was over fish fingers. We also at the time when we had a disagreement about what peas were called.
And what else would you call them?
Well, he was stood in the middle of Sainsbury's with me going, petit pois, petit pois.
Oh, that last week.
And yes, it's moments like that when you think you wouldn't be having that conversation with anyone else.
No, you wouldn't. Oh, no, I think there's something quite beautiful about it. You know, if you feel that safe in a relationship that you can say anything.
Yeah.
And then carry on about something else.
Like, petit pois.
And nobody knows how to wind you up.
Yeah, oh yeah. They know how to push your buttons, yeah, don't they?
They really do.
That is a negative, isn't it? Pushing someone's buttons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. It's like, oh.
I said that. I didn't want it to come across badly in the podcast, you know.
Cocktails. That's one of the things that pushes Mark's buttons, actually.
In what regard?
I get where he's coming from. It's cocktail sounds like a great idea, doesn't it? Because they do. They always go out for cocktails.
Yeah.
The reality is they cost about 11 quid and take 20 minutes to make.
Yeah, they're quite frustrated, aren't they?
And then you get it and it's like two gulps, you're gone.
Mm.
Like, I've got to queue up again now.
Has anybody ever managed to have more than like two cocktails before moving on to something else?
I have, but only during the day, which sounds terrible, day drinking. But it was a Saturday and it was my birthday and the bar was quite quiet, so, and there was a waiter.
Ah, oh, right.
But I panic because I'm like, order about three at once because they won't come back, you know, kind of. There's nothing worse when you sat there, you've not had a drink in half an hour and it's like, right.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Do I go and queue up? Do I?
Yeah, I always remember I think I've told you before, England-Wales a few years ago in the Euros. And I got to Varsity, or whatever it's called now.
It's totally different now, you know?
Yeah, I know,
we should go back.
Yeah. But no, I was in there, and they had the football on, and walked in, went to the bar, and it was just before kickoff when I got there, and the second half had just kicked off when I finally got served.
Oh, my God. Yeah, but you're so polite at bars, though.
Do you think?
Yeah. You're like determined, because I'm like, I'm very scatty, like, let's move over here, let's try here, let's try there. Like, no, I will stay here. Somebody will eventually serve me.
I think the word you're looking for is stubborn.
Yes, that's the one. Stubborn as a mule. Love it. Do you know what? Going back onto Battle Royale, and I'll definitely edit this out. It's been shown in Manchester, the used to be called the Corner House. I think it's still called the Corner House Cinema. Do you remember watching Battle Royale with me?
No. This is why I glossed over it when you mentioned it before, because I didn't know the reference.
We'd come back off a night out, surprise, surprise, because we were students. It was about 2 a.m. We were in the living room on the world's skankiest couches, put some random channel on, and I remember we were like, oh, this is like, why are these Chinese kids got like collars on? This kid's head blew off. And then we were interested.
Well, yeah, so I'm interested now.
What is this? It's basically The Hunger Games, but the original.
Oh, right. Yeah. I have no memory of this at all.
Epic. You should watch it.
Well, yeah, I will.
It got again. That was amazing. That I've never seen anything like it. definitely edit this out, Claire. Quality podcasting about.
Yeah, a bit too niche, that.
What do I like in a film? Blowing somebody's head off. Like, yes! But it's probably a good time to tell my panic story of the week.
Panic story of the week.
Sponsored by... Oh, we don't have one this week. Sponsored by camping.
No, that doesn't work. I'm trying to think... What we should do is any company that's particularly impressed us. Because all the stories you ever hear about negative experiences that people have. What good customer service have you had this week?
I like that. I will tell you about Enhanced Biotics then. Oh God, Alexa's lighting up.
That's fine.
You know, suddenly she just starts talking to you about Alexa and out of nowhere.
So she went purple, which I've never seen that before.
Self-destruct. She does do that. We've got one in the bedroom and I like shit myself at night sometimes when she's like, sorry, I don't understand that question. I'm like, oh.
I didn't ask a question. I'm sorry.
I am convinced that's, you know, data mining.
Yeah, possibly. It came on as soon as you said that brand name.
Right.
What was it?
Enhanced Biotics. Yeah. Let's see if she does it again. No.
No.
But they're... have you heard of CBD oil?
No.
It's... Obviously, you know marijuana.
Yes.
She's a friend of mine. So, it's the same plant. So, the cannabis plant is the same plant, CBD, but CBD has no THC in it, which is a psychoactive... The one that gets you high.
Right. So it's like the rubbish bit of a marijuana plant.
You would think the rubbish bit, but apparently CBD, and I can attest to this, has all the strength of medical marijuana without the psychoactive stuff.
Oh, right, okay.
So I've been trying it. I'll show you in a minute.
Is it legal? Just to clarify, given that we're on a podcast here.
100%. In the last couple of years, it's caught fire. It really has. I couldn't think of the phrase again, but it's... If you're interested in this, watch my Instagram video about CBD. But talking about good customer service, Enhanced Biotics are local lads, and they source everything naturally themselves. And I just thought they were a good bunch. So there you go.
Oh, so Claire's story of the week, sponsored by that.
Enhanced Biotics. Hi, Ben, if you're listening. Okay, so the story of the week, on the lines of lies that panic tells. When... About 2 years into my recovery, I started a new job at an educational publisher called Speechmark, although I'm happy to say, because it's all fine above board, love them, really nice people. They're not actually there anymore. But that doesn't matter.
Sorry. They got out of business?
No, because of me. No, they just joined another company. But anyway, so they knew about my condition because I was quite open with them after my probation, because I'm not stupid. Do you know what I mean? Wait 3 months. Just, you know, I trust them anyway, but you just want to make sure
you're protected. When you start somewhere new, you can't be sure how they're going to react to mental health.
Oh, I'm so excited about this. By the way, I'm crazy, so I can just... No, they were really cool. They were awesome. They allowed me to work one day a week from home so I could go see my therapist.
That's really good.
That's another thing about authority, you know, the whole, you stay here for these hours. I'm like, why? Because you think I'm going to work... As well as I would... Oh, never mind. Doesn't matter. Back onto the story. One of the reasons why I became self-employed. And once every quarter, which is... What's a quarter? Is it 4 months?
3, 6, 9, 12.
Yes. Matt's taking a shot tonight. No. I had to do like a presentation. Well, we all did. We sit in this big boardroom and each department talks about what they've been up to.
Yeah.
Not the weekend, I mean, literally.
Yeah.
Sales-wise.
Work-wise.
And I went into this meeting, and it was fine, because everyone, you know, it was only six of us, it was dead casual, but because it switched from being comfortable to, this is a boardroom, shutting that door. This is triggering. Mm. Oh my God, when they get to me, I'm going to do something weird.
Yeah.
I'm going to do something really weird. And I kept the whole stripping off and running around naked thing was in my head. You're not going to be able to speak. You're going to act dangerously. You're going to tell your the managing director to fuck off. You're going to do something. And I went to the toilet about 3 times. God knows how I got away with that. They had thought I had the shits or I was like a coke addict. But I was going in there to just... But when it actually came to my part, this wave comes over me. I had to kind of reflect on what do you know about panic?
Yeah.
Well, this is no different, is it? Just because it was speaking louder. Like, imagine volume that's 5 normally was like 20.
Mm.
And I was like, okay, let's just see what happens. Just start talking and see. And if you do all this stuff, then you know what? I don't care anymore. I'm not being held hostage to this. So I start talking, and lo and behold, it was fine. A bit of a shaky start, but I was a bit like, but it was fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody finds that sort of thing comfortable.
No.
But, I mean, you do public speaking for your job now, don't you? So you've definitely overcome it.
So if you have panic in that kind of environment, you think everybody's going to see this now.
Yeah.
What am I going to do? And then afterwards, I said to a friend who was sat across from me, I was like, oh, how did I look? And she's like, you look fine. What are you talking about? I was like, impossible. Impossible. There must have been steam coming out of my ears because there's no way I got away with that. And it's that realization that it's not all in your head. I absolutely hate that phrase.
Yeah.
It's trash talk.
Yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah. So your brain telling you everyone's going to notice, everyone's going to know.
Yeah.
And the reality is they might think, yeah, she's a bit nervous, but no one's going to think beyond that, are they?
I've got to this point in my life now. I'm like, God, if they do, then fuck it.
Well, exactly.
Sorry, yeah, I swear a lot. Like, I don't... Nothing's worse than being kind of sat in a box of terror enough to think, I'm going to keep it in and I'll live this way.
Mm.
Like, absolutely not. If this happens now, I don't care. I get to this point, which is quite... I had this right before I went on the BBC. And my mum was like, that's great, but you're about to go on live television. So, you know, maybe don't have that attitude. Like, you know, kind of, you'll be fine. No, I don't care if I strip off.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Well, the viewing figures would probably go on.
Oh, but, yeah.
On the subject of swearing, by the way, a bit of a side thing. I saw that we're on Spotify now.
We've been on Spotify since the beginning.
Well, yeah.
All right, go on.
Week two, but... subscribe, by the way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I noticed we're down as explicit, which I quite enjoyed. Because it reminds me of, you know, when you were younger, like CDs.
Yeah. Eminem.
Yeah, danger, explicit content, or whatever he said.
Yeah. You do realise I had to take that myself. Nobody's listened.
What?
I had to, when you, I text like, is there explicit content? And I was like, yep.
Yeah, it still looks cool though.
It does, doesn't it? And like the little sticker, like the black and white.
Yeah.
Did you know that because we're on Buzzsprout, it means we're automatically on Pocket Casts, Acasts, and all this other stuff I didn't know.
Oh, really?
We're on about 11 different platforms now.
Right.
Please do subscribe.
I've never heard of most of them, if I'm honest, but.
Neither had I. Did you know that Podbean is the least popular?
Is it?
Mm.
I thought you told me that it was the most popular.
No.
Or was it? I know I might have said that, actually.
I think maybe we thought it was, but it's Apple.
Oh, right, okay.
Closely followed by, like, Acast or something. And then I was like, I have no idea what that is. And then checked. I'm like, oh, that's how I listen to my podcast. Anyway, I think for this, so just to end with I'd like to give a bit of tip of the week downtime. You're supposed to do the jingle.
Tip of the week.
Sponsored by Clickin. Still waiting on that that album, but whatever.
it's the idea for my next podcast, actually.
Just Clickin.
Mm.
I'd love that.
You like that sort of, that what's it called? You were showing me last week.
Oh, ASMR.
Yeah, you could do that. Could be like a form of ASMR Clickin, couldn't it?
I know. I really like it. I know some people, it freaks them out. It's probably like Marmite, isn't it?
I don't think we should explain what it is. I just tell people to put it into YouTube and just see how long you can watch it for. Because I think either you'll watch it for the full, like there's some videos that are like 8 hours long.
Yeah.
Either watch it for, that or you'll watch it for 20 seconds before you have to turn it off.
The thing is, I reckon you shoot yourself in the foot there because it's so popular.
I know, but it's really creepy. I find it so uncomfortable.
I love it. It makes sense though because I'm trying to think. I really like the sound of paper being scrunched up. I'm just going to show you now. Like ASMR. I really like it. I've always found it very soothing and anything that has a definitive sound. Not like, Christ, some drunk person like, hey, on a night out, that's a definitive sound. I mean more like an inanimate object.
Yeah, I think the one you showed me has clouded my judgment somewhat.
Oh, the woman tucking you in.
Yeah.
I love that.
It's basically a woman
sits on the
end of your bed and talks to you in a very quiet voice. And yeah, it's just the sound's too loud and the microphone's picking up every little sound.
I don't like that grosses me out.
When she talks, you can hear it clicking. It's horrible.
But that's not common in ASMR. I think that's a mistake with the sound. But I think sound's very powerful and it affects me. Remind me next week to tell you the story about when I went to a seance that wasn't really a seance, it was all audio.
Right, okay.
I think it's that kind of stuff's very powerful.
Yeah, save that one for next week.
Yeah, the tip of the week is about this week about panic trash talk. Is disengage with it. The more you try and fight back, you know, because it's instinct to say, you know, panics, then we're going to die, we're going to do this. We fight back and say, don't be stupid, don't be ridiculous, you're pathetic, you belittle yourself. And the whole experience is so demoralizing because you can't stop it. What I said earlier about you don't imagine pink elephants is exactly the same. What you have to do instead is to accept it and let it come in. I tend to welcome it now and say, all right, I hear what you have to say. I'm choosing not to act on it, though. Let's just see what happens. It's weird at first, because when you're talking to yourself internally, we do it all the time without thinking, but when you spin it into a positive way, it can feel a bit weird.
Like when you've got a friend who's got a different political view to you.
Yeah.
So it's like, yeah, I've heard what you're saying. I'm taking it on board, and I'm going to completely ignore it.
It's going to bin that. Yeah, or when someone tries to talk to me about football, I'm like, yeah, I'm listening to that. Yeah, it's exactly the same. Just think of it as trash talk from someone talking about something you're not interested in.
Yeah.
If there's anything useful, like, I think we're going to get hit by that bus that's coming towards us, then fair enough.
Yeah, maybe listen to that.
Oh my God, that's another memory. When I just first learned to drive. Did I say memory? I'm getting excited. I'd first learned how to drive and I was in my mum's Renault Megane and you and Matt were in the car and I was driving us somewhere and I was just about to pull out and you casually just went, watch out for the bus. And I was like, ah!
Yeah, I was really casual about that considering there was a bus coming towards us. I think I didn't want to seem like I was going, like being over the top if you'd already seen it, if you know what I mean.
No, I hadn't seen it.
Well, that's cool. I'm glad I said something.
Anyway, watch out for the bus. Slammed on.
This podcast may never have happened if I hadn't have said that.
So that kind of trash talk, per se, is useful. But anything else, yeah, just listen and let it go. I think that's it this week.
Is that everything?
Yeah. Thank you very much for listening. And do subscribe. I think we're on all the major platforms.
And all the rest as well.
Yeah.
And we're explicit, so just remember that.
Okay, thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
What a peculiar place to have a party.